You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor.
Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
Hello, friends. Lee Brown here, and it's time for Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, we're going to be in the death side of the business, which you might think, Lee Brown, why are we talking death? Because, friends, life ends with death, or actually, it ends with life beyond death. I'm just saying, if you're saved, and if you need information, let me know. But anyway, the story today, we're going to talk about probate. You're going to hear from a homeschooling mom who became a top producing realtor. So if you're a homeschooler, present or future, and you want to know how does this apply to real estate, listen in. If you're a realtor who wants to expand your business into the probate side, listen in. If you're a regular person who's thinking, oh, my paperwork's not in order, listen in. There's so much to be learned from Kim Ward today. She's from San Diego, and she's about to be your new favorite. So enjoy the conversation, and I'll see you on the other side. So welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on my podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate this.
Yeah. So tell all of my viewers and listeners a little bit about Kim Ward in San Diego, how long you've been in and around real estate, and maybe some tidbit that tells them a little bit about you, besides your amazing hair and your beautiful red there.
Thank you. So let's see, I actually got my real estate license in 1994. I was still a homeschooling mother of four children at that time.
Oh, you!
Yeah. So, but my mother was a real estate agent and she needed a little bit of help. So I got my license. So when she could go on vacation, I could step in. But I really started my business in 2000 and went, and I was working for a large brokerage, and overachiever that I am, I decided 3 years later to start working on getting my broker's license. Thought, oh, I could go out on my own. I actually had to hire a coach to help me to feel comfortable, which I did not at all, to start my own boutique business. And so that happened in 2004. Scared the bejesus out of me doing that.
And it should have. That was because you were paying attention.
Yeah. And so that's how I've been working since then. 2004 to now, I have had my own boutique brokerage.
So I love your whole trajectory here. I love how your mom tricked you into getting into the business, because she obviously had a master plan. She's like, just get your license and help me out. She knew what she was doing. Mm-hmm. But I want to backtrack to homeschooling for a minute, because I found in talking to a lot of realtors, they get into real estate because they want that flexibility at home. They want to be able to do things differently. And then they wind up getting completely sucked into real estate. And they forget that a lot of their success in real estate comes from their own background. And often that's as a stay-at-home mom or as a manager of a household. Can you tell our friends here, what did you learn? What did you take from homeschooling life that made you a successful realtor? I think the homeschooling population takes a lot of flack unnecessarily, and you have to be a massively skilled leader to make homeschooling work. And I'd love to hear what your takeaways for people who are in that space or leaving that space or entering that space. What can they learn from Kim?
I didn't immediately transition from being a full-time mom with children at home to real estate. I actually had a friend that was looking for someone to do some calling to insurance companies. She has a work company. So she convinced me to come work for her 2 days a week, which scared me. And I didn't think I could do it. And then I was there for 6 months. And of course, then I thought, well, I could just transition into real estate. Yeah, real faulty thinking about going from 2 days to what real estate is. So what having been with my children like that definitely helped me to have patience and empathy and a good listener, organized, that kind of thing. Because on top of homeschooling the children, my husband and I were trying to get ahead financially, and I wasn't employed. So I got the brilliant idea of purchasing a fixer property. So I have, don't have pictures of it because I'm the one that takes all the pictures, but where I was stuccoing eaves and the children were running around this fixer house. And
I love that visual.
So we could make some extra money. And so all that kind of led to me going and interviewing at a couple of big brokerages and starting there. And the day that I decided that I was going to start working in the real estate industry, I went to a meeting with a women's meeting, and one of them said, I'm getting a divorce. I need to find a home. And I said, well, I'm a real estate agent. And so that's what started my career. Yeah. A friend.
So I'm so intrigued by the fact that you saw real estate as a financial solution to just doing better before you got into real estate. Were there lessons that you took from that first investment property into your career? Did you have interactions with a realtor when you bought that flipper, and did you sell it? And I'm curious if you had any preconceived notions about agent life before you got fully into it.
I can't say that I did. I was so over busy that I was just doing the next thing and the next thing all the time. But I did see what I liked about it was taking ugly and making it pretty. And that was real appealing to me. And so that kind of just, and I could just see that we could make a large chunk of money at a time. Although, of course, we were paying capital gains because we started this where we bought something, fixed it up, and then sold it. So we didn't make as much as we could have if we would have known what I know today about buying and holding. So I don't even recall. I think probably my mother helped with the real estate side of things when we bought it, because I didn't have my license yet. We came from Ohio in 1989, and with like the pioneers with big ideas of how we were going to make our lives so much better. And the first house that we actually purchased, we bought from an auction, and it happened to be a probate, which is what my expertise is. But it had court confirmation, so we had to go there and bid it up, and we paid way too much for it. And that's the one where I was stuccoing the eaves. But we rented that for a while until we ended up selling it, and then 1031 exchanging it into a property we still own today.
Oh gosh, I could go in about 1,000 directions with you because your life is so amazing and the stories are everywhere. First thing I want to point out is you're obviously just wired to be an entrepreneur. And I think it's one thing that homeschooling parents forget about themselves, that you have to be entrepreneurial to do homeschooling, because you're doing something on your own outside of the usual norm, and it's on you to make it work, whether your people around you, the kids, are listening or not and are succeeding or not, has everything to do with the structure that you put in place. And I think there's a whole space we could be dialing into with the entrepreneurism that comes out of that space, but we won't do it today because I really want to talk to you about probate, because it's an area of real estate that many realtors are unfamiliar with. And you've seen it as well as I have. They get that first deal that's thrown in their space and that I don't really know what to do, don't really know where to find a mentor, don't really know where to find the information. They don't even know where to start. So I'd love for you to share with us a little bit of background, because my audience is not just realtors. There's also plenty of regular people that just love hearing about the inside scoop on the business. Mm-hmm. Tell them what probate is and some of the basic processes that are involved and how to be a more professional person in that space when you're confronted with it.
Okay. So Well, probate is when someone passes away and they don't have a trust, you know, like a revocable living trust. So the states are all different, but here in California, when someone passes away, they don't have a trust, they have a piece of property, it has to go through the probate process, which is public. So typically the person that would be appointed, so it's usually a family member, sometimes a friend, sometimes a fiduciary, and that's a whole other topic when family members aren't gelling well. You have to get somebody appointed. So there's a house. It needs to be prepared, marketed, and sold. And there's special paperwork. There's timelines that have to be adhered to. There's just various things that it's important for a real estate professional to know what they need to be doing and respecting those timelines to protect their client, which is usually it's the executor or the administrator. The executor actually is someone who has their loved one that passed away had a will. So they are then appointed to execute the will. And in the will, it states that person. When there isn't a will, then an administrator is appointed by the courts.
So if somebody has a will, does their house still have to go through probate?
Yes, in California. I have heard some things in other states that perhaps not. But here, if the home is worth more than $150,000, it has to go through probate. Well, nothing is less.
Anything
than
under 150 in California? I mean, what year was that? But so maybe we should do a step up on that, speaking of capital gains.
But you'd think.
All I can say is Kim already gave you the big asterisk, and I'll give it to you again. Check the laws in your state wherever you are when you dive into this world. Okay, so let's say a buyer shows up and wants to buy a house that's in probate. What's different about the escrow and closing process for a probate house versus a standard traditional seller sells a house?
Okay, good question. So once the house is prepared and we've marketed and people are seeing going in to see the house, usually it's vacant, which is lovely because up until last year, we didn't really have to schedule the showings. But last year we had this whole thing where we had to schedule people 15 minutes apart. And
kind of like that too. Can we keep that process? It was so nice to have no overlapping showings because of COVID.
Yeah, see, I feel the other way about it, that I want to put in the listing, just go and show. So yes, please don't call me, don't email, just go show. Okay. So then once people are looking at the property and then they want to write an offer, there's a particular probate purchase agreement. It's not the residential purchase agreement. And so it has different language in it that has to do with the probate. It actually has information in there about a timeline. So once we negotiate the whole offer, just that's kind of the same, the negotiation process, then we open escrow. And then I let the attorney know that we have opened escrow and we have a buyer, and I have to send the attorney all this information about the transaction. So for instance, I have property that I'm working on right now. We negotiate a $670,000 offer. We had to send that information emailed over to the attorney, who then drafts a notice of proposed action. So basically that document goes to any of the beneficiaries or any entities that have an interest in the property, because sometimes in a will, people will say, I want to leave X amount of dollars to the Humane Society or something like that. So that notice goes out to them, and after 15 days, it expires. So it's a really important timeline that I always explain over the phone to whoever the buyer agent is that we're going to be working with, that we do have this notice. But I tell them, don't worry about it, because I've been doing this for 18 years now, and I've only had one person object to the notice, because that's what it's all about. They have an opportunity to say, no, I don't agree with that, those terms and that price. And once it happened, and it was because they didn't understand what they were doing, and we just had to explain it to them, and then they objected.
So are you saying that technically, if Joe dies, and in his will, he has left $5,000 to the Humane Society, and his house is being sold in probate, the Humane Society is going to get notice that Joe's house is being sold, and they technically could object to the sale of Joe's house if they thought it was worth at $700 instead of $670?
Technically, but the reality is people don't object because they want the gift that their loved cash, one right. the person has left them. So
you're so nice. They want their cash. They want to do this. What the young people do, the burr.
True, but you know, trying to be nice.
I just didn't know that any beneficiary could object, and I find that to be fascinating because in today's world, you would actually think there would be more objections since people tend to fight over the smallest things. But I believe you're probably right that the cash just rules and they'd like to be done with it. So in 18 years of doing these and knowing that there could be 1,000 little hiccups, you're going to have to tell us, Kim, what's the craziest scenario you've encountered? It doesn't even have to be probate. It can be anything in your real estate life. Besides the visual you've already gifted all of us of you doing stucco while your children run ring around the rosy at the bottom of the ladder. That's why your hair's white now from all of that stucco hitting your head.
It was brown back then. I don't do that anymore. Okay, so the problems that come up sometimes are between the family members, and it's like they've always had these problems. Mom, whatever, didn't like this one as much as that one. Mom dies and they hate
it. Moms don't play favorites. We would never do that, Kim. We love them all. We love them all differently, but we love them all, right?
It depends on the day.
Hey, secrets of mom life. And if you're out there judging us, we know you don't have kids, but carry
on. That's right. Now, I have four of them. So, you know, it depends on the day. And even they're all adult children now. So it still depends on the day. Okay. So crazy stuff that happened. So I have a situation right now that I was hired. My name was put in into a, there were three people that had real estate licenses that were put into this pot to be picked. I was picked. And there's three attorneys involved, one for the brother, one for the sister, and one for the mother who is still with us, but she's in memory care. And it's just been a nightmare that these guys just can't get along. I had to let both of them into the house to go through the personal property to take the things that they wanted, but they couldn't take them right then. We had to take pictures and then send it to the other one and get the okay. And so they both are talking to me about the other one. Yeah. The other one's the problem. Let's put it that way. Yeah. And so just being able to go, okay, okay. And just let them go through their process, because the bottom line is I want to get the house ready to get the house sold, because that's how I get reimbursed for all my energy and expertise and time. And that's how I pay my bills and feed my family. So there's stuff like that that goes on. Not always. I love it when people do have a nice, they're just a good family thing. I've had a family that we needed, they had a septic tank and the septic tank lids need to be exposed, or the company that comes and does the septic tank certification charges $150 an hour. So the brothers all got out there, were drinking beer and digging up the septic tank. So sweet.
I often say sweet and septic in the same sentence. Do you?
I know, you know, but yeah, but they made it a party out of it. And their dad had died and they had a job to do, which they could have had a stranger do it, but instead they were a family.
But isn't that just life? I mean, we get to choose how we're going to react to every situation. So in scenario one, you have a brother and sister who choose to find the worst possible outcome and then drag you, the innocent third party stranger, into it and try and drag each other down. And that's a choice, knowing that the money is probably going to pay for mom's memory care unit. Mm-hmm. Those things are high. And then you go to your other story where you've got brothers who choose, in the wake of dad's passing, to drink a beer together and dig up the septic tank and make the most of the time that they have. And it's such a snapshot of what life can be if we just choose differently.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And all that water under the bridge, believe me, I heard a lot from the first story. I just let them talk. And then I walk away and let it go. It's the sweet stories that I'm like, oh, that's such a great way to do things, to really honor your parents and the gift that they're leaving you and have laughter around it. Because a lot of in probate, people are grieving a good deal of the time. And it's the personal property that's more of a hiccup most of the time than the house. And so my job is to really help them get through that personal property. Take the things that they want and are mementos or things that are truly of value to them, and then let them know that the rest of the things that we own, here's a little thing. Our stuff's not worth much. Pennies on the dollar. People will not pay a lot for your Ethan Allen furniture or whatever.
Isn't that wild? Because that's good furniture. And these young people rather have IKEA. But that's a different discussion altogether.
Yeah. It is.
I love how you point that out, though. And that's part of why we've seen in the business nationally this proliferation of companies and professionals that will come into a house and help the property owner deal with the personal stuff. Right. And that can take months sometimes. We're going to keep this, sell this, give this away. Mm-hmm. And just sorting through it is hard. But once you get the stuff out of the way, the house becomes just a house. It's just wild how houses are these. They look like inanimate objects and they're not. And they're not shells. They're full of stories and memories and fights and happy beer drinking moments by the septic tank. There's so many moments involved in it. So I'm grateful there's people like you out there that are in that space to bring the professionalism. And also, you're not cold-hearted about this. You understand where they are, so you can help them figure out what the next phase looks like and help them move on with life and, frankly, get some new memories and moments into that house.
Yeah, and get that closure also. So I think this is probably from being a mom and all of the life that I had before also, is that I can do both. I can be soft and understanding and let them talk for as long as they need to. And then I can say, okay, this is the plan. This is what we're doing. We're going forward. Because that's what they need also, is somebody to just really help them to see that the personal property is worth pennies on the dollar. And let's rip the Band-Aid off. Sometimes there's estate sales, not very often, honestly. Most of the time, the things that are left in the house, we do a buyout, which is... this man comes in. His name is Isaiah. He looks at everything. He offers X amount of dollars. I then send an email to the client to get their permission. And then I make it happen and get the stuff out of there.
Isaiah will buy a whole house full of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think I love him. That sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not much like the house with the brother sister that I just was talking about. There was some nice stuff still in this house, but it wasn't worth having an estate sale. And so I had Isaiah come in, and I ended up negotiating that he would do the yard work also to get the house ready, because the house had been vacant for 2 years because of this brother-sister attorney thing. And anyway, he ended up paying $300 for all that was left in the house and did all the yard work.
That sounds like a win for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I got to ask you a question here. In the COVID era, people not being able, I don't really think people have been able to grieve properly when they've been separated from loved ones in those last moments. They've been unable to have funerals and memorial services in the way that we traditionally have. Have you seen any changes to the probate behaviors since this started? Is it, you think it's harder or easier now with the disconnection that a lot of people have from each other?
Well, my experience here in San Diego was the courthouse closed. And for whatever reason, a government entity can't handle business like this. And so they
were. What? You mean governments aren't efficient? What?
So they were closed for 4 or 5 months. So, of course, that truly affected my business because everything stopped. Plus, people didn't want to travel, which I don't blame them. So my business went from helping 30 or so families a year to 9 last year. But yay for PPP loans. And one's forgiven. I have another one to get forgiven. So I had an emergency fund that I kept my team on and just basically used all that up to keep them going. But so with COVID, it did totally change my business because of those two factors. So now the courts are open, they're really backed up, things are starting to come out, and people are starting to want to prepare homes for sale. But I guess you're talking more about where people unable to grieve, they were unable to move on. The people that I have had contact with, because the courts have to appoint, even when there's a will and there's an executor, it still has to go through the court process to get them appointed. And then they get a letters of administration. That's what gives them the right to represent the sale of the property. So when that wasn't happening, everybody's just on hold. There's these homes that are vacant with all their families stuck inside of it. It wasn't good.
It's just, it's so interesting, the different tiny little slivers of life that ground to a halt, and nobody's really thought about it because we get so tunnel vision in our own day-to-day lives. And then if you turn on the mainstream media, you're going to get their version of things. But meanwhile, you have family by family people who are really, as you said, just looking for some closure, and they can't get there because of inefficiencies here and lack of understanding there. So Kim, I could talk to you for hours. I love this conversation. And I know that everybody who's been with us today has thought differently about what they can do to help in their communities through probate, or maybe they're going to go talk to their mom and dad about making sure everything is locked up and tightened up on the will process to make this smoother when that day does come, because spoiler alert, everybody, we're all going to die. No matter what you hear from the media, that life involves death, but you can still tighten things up and make it easier for your loved ones when that day does come. Kim, how do our viewers and listeners reach out to you if they want more information on the training that you provide and the expertise that you have? They just want to follow you and be friends with you in the real world.
Well, if you want to be friends, Facebook, we have a, well, let me back that up. So I have a program that I put together for real estate professionals that if they want to learn my systems, my letters, my scripts, how I market to executors, administrators, and attorneys, it's called probatebiz.com. So it's online. It's an online training. You can check it out there. I can be reached on Facebook. We have a Probate Biz Facebook page, and then I just have my business page that's separate, and my personal page. My email is kimward@probateandtrusthelp.com. I also have two YouTube channels, one that is Probate Biz and one that is probateandtrusthelp.com. So you can check me out there also.
And because y'all are sitting there thinking, I don't know where to go, it's okay. All of Kim's links are in the show notes for this episode. So you can go visit all of her different personalities online and follow and learn from whichever one you choose. Kim, thank you so much for coming on the show. And thank you for what you're doing in the real estate community to provide better education and information so that realtors can serve their clients in a really more impactful way than they even realize. And I appreciate you for that.
Well, thank you, Lee. It's been great.
All right, guys, if you enjoyed this and you enjoyed learning from Kim and you too wish your hair looked that great, you totally give 5 stars, a review, you share it, you like it, you tell your friends, and most importantly, you come back and see me next time. We'll have more stories from the world of real estate. So we'll see you next time. As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram @LeeThomasBrown or tweet me @LeeBrown or frankly any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.